This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, to bless us all with His favors and to forgive us our sins, the sins that keep us back and away from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to bless us with good mental and physical health. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. We ask this for ourselves and our loved ones and all of Muslims. Ameen Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Inshallah Rabbil Alameen, today's lecture is sort of a conclusion to, or a necessary addition to, the lectures that we had on depression. If you remember, we had the series on depression, and there were few things that were left unsaid. And I wanted, inshallah, to kind of take this opportunity to discuss all of these things with you, inshallah, and specifically the title of today's lecture is like depression, envy, magic, and possession. Is depression a psychological or supernatural issue? So it's this question, inshallah, that I want to address today. The question of whether depression is a psychological issue. Is it a supernatural issue? By supernatural, what do I mean by that? I mean by it that it's envy, it's possession, it's magic. Is it supernatural? Is it psychological? Is it both? Because that determines how you treat something once you identify the cause. And if you've gone through the depression lectures, inshallah, you will probably have an idea of what is the cause, because we discussed that. But I want to highlight that a little bit more, inshallah, in today's lecture, especially in contrasting one cause to the other. And what I want to do, inshallah, today is simply lay down the foundations that will help you not only understand psychological problems and afflictions, but also physical ones as well. So these are qawaid, or principles, that are far greater than just simply the things that we are discussing. They will help, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, to understand the question at hand, but also other things as well. And so, one thing, inshallah, to keep in mind is that psychological and physical problems are similar in the sense that they could have both biological or supernatural causes. And this is part of the ni'mah that Allah Azza wa Jal has. The ni'mah of what? The ni'mah of creating parallels in this universe, so that once we understand one thing, we understand the other. So physical illnesses are a lot easier to understand. If you understand them, then you can draw conclusions also when it comes to psychological issues and problems, because there's a lot of similarities between them. One of these similarities is that when it comes to causes, psychological and physical problems have both what, let's say, call them worldly causes and also otherworldly causes. So if we understand one, we will understand, inshallah, the other. So I want to begin with physical. And the reason why I want to begin with the physical is because we need to understand that physical problems have both types of causes and how to treat them. And when we understand that, as I said, the psychological, inshallah, will be easier to comprehend. So physical illnesses, when we have a physical illness, the biological cause is the first thing that we assume. So you have an illness, you have a pain, knees in the back, you're coughing. You don't immediately assume envy. This is really important. You don't immediately assume that somebody somehow have created a magic spell against you. That's why you are coughing and sick and all of that. The first assumption when it comes to physical illnesses is that it's biological. So you wonder, What is wrong? What is this illness? Do I have a deficiency of some sort? You go to the doctor, you ask him questions, and you try to treat it. So physical illnesses, the assumption is that it is biological. But also, that's important, religious treatment to physical illnesses is effective. Even though the cause is biological, but physical illnesses and diseases, religious treatment helps. So in addition to going to the doctor and seeking medical treatment for your condition, treating your condition, your physical condition with religion helps. So I've listed here some examples: the adhkar, dua, sadaqah, helping others, and ruqya. So reading your adhkar in the morning and in the evening wards off illnesses, protects from illnesses. So there is a particular dhikr that the Prophet ﷺ said that if you were to travel and spend the night somewhere and you would recite that dhikr, you will not be bitten by a scorpion. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. You will not be bitten by a scorpion. This is physical, but the adhkar offer protection. Ruqya. So we know, and it's documented in the hadith, that one sahabi was passing by with a group of companions, was passing by a village. And these people who inhabited that village were not Muslims. And the chief of that village was just bitten or stung by a scorpion. So he was suffering. They couldn't do anything to help him. And he was on his way to die. So they asked those Muslims, as a last resort, they asked them, can you do something to help him? So the Muslim, when that particular Sahabi, he said, yes, we can. So he went and he read Al-Fatiha on that person as a ruqya, and that person was healed. He says it was almost immediate. Once he finished Al-Fatiha, that person recovered and then he stood up. So from a state where he was approaching or coming close to death to being cured. So what helped with that? Ruqya. So Al-Fatiha is a ruqya. Al-Mu'awwidhat, Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, is a ruqya. It helps with physical illness. We have also, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he was sick and he was suffering and he was about to die, right? So on his deathbed, Aisha radiallahu anha, she would read, because she was taking care of him, she would read a ruqya, al-mu'awwidhat, qul huwa Allahu ahad, qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, then blow this on his hand and then wipe his body with his hand, because his hand, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is blessed. So she would read the ruqya and then wipe over his body. That was a physical illness that was caused by the poison that was given to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a few years back in Khaybar. So it's a physical illness, but ruqya helps with it. So we can take a benefit, inshallah, we can learn something from that, which is that when we have any physical illness, and our assumption, as I said immediately, is that it has biological causes, use ruqya for it. Use ruqya for it. Al-Fatiha, blow on your hand, and then on your body, or on that particular part that hurts. Al-Mu'awwidhat, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. That helps. Ayatul Kursi, it helps. Other things that I've mentioned over there, as I said, sadaqah. Sadaqah helps the sick. So if you are suffering from a physical illness, you can donate, you can give sadaqah with the intention that this is for Allah Azza wa Jal, but also to help with my illness. دَوُوا مَرْضَاكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, treat your sick ones with sadaqah, helping others. Because when you help others, Allah helps you. So that's also a means of healing in Islam. So it's not only taking medicine, swallowing medicine, and just going to a doctor. It's also using all of these things for treatment. And by the way, you know, some scholars have said that actually these are more effective if you are a believer than physical medicine. That dua, ya Allah, heal me, adhkar, the ruqya, the sadaqah, is more effective if a person is really a believer. They are far more effective than just simple medicine. So we say, why combine both? Go to the doctor, but at the same time also use religious healing. But I remember that we said with physical illness, the first assumption that we have is that it is biological, not supernatural or supernaturally caused. Now, when do we assume that there are supernatural causes to it? As we said again, supernatural causes are hasad, ayn, and magic. And yeah, the point that I wanted to make first before we address that question of when do we know, supernatural causes are what? Hasad, ayn, and magic. Magic is somebody made some magic, that they went to a magician and they created a spell to harm you. And again, in the hadith, somebody did that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Allah saved him from it. He only had minor responses to it, to that spell, where he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sometimes forget whether he had slept with his wives or not, but it would not affect him otherwise. And then Jibreel alayhi salam came down and he read ruqya upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so it healed him. And then he told him where that spell was. It was in a well and dropped in that well, and it was extracted and the knots untied. So it could happen. So magic could cause physical illness or psychological, as we will see. There's hasad, envy. And hasad means that somebody sees or hears about something good that you have and they wish that you don't have it, that you would lose it. So you start experiencing pain or sickness or what happens. That happens. Ayn is what? Ayn is slightly different. Ayn means that somebody sees. It could be even you. You see something beautiful that you have or other loved ones have, and you admire it. And you don't say, Barakallahu alayh, may Allah bless it. That admiration of yours sometimes could cause that thing to become sick. Can cause that thing to become sick if you don't invoke barakah. So there is, when it comes to hasad and ayn, there's an incident at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when somebody, there was one sahabi, and he was bathing. Right? Bathing, you know, in a river or in a lake, something like that. And then another sahabi saw him bathing. And the awra, of course, is covered, but he saw his upper body. And he admired his skin, admired his physique. He said, I haven't seen something, you know, as beautiful as I'm seeing now. And that person who was bathing fell immediately ill. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, when they brought that news to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, why is one of you killing his brother? Or why would one of you kill his brother? Meaning that if you see something like this, you need to invoke barakah. You need to say, may Allah bless it. So if we admire anything, you say, Allah bless it. This is ayn. This is ayn. And then the Prophet ﷺ then told that person who admired that sick person who is now sick, he says, you know, wash parts of your body and take that water and pour it over the body of the sick person. And when they did that, Allah Azza wa Jal healed him. So this is one of the ways that envy can be healed. But this is when you know who did that. Anyway, we're not really talking here about envy in particular, but that it can cause physical illness. Yes, and envy could come from both human and jinn. So the jinn can see you, admire you, or resent the good thing that you have, and it could cause a loss or an illness. And envy is really widespread. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that أكثر ما يدخل أمتي أو أكثر موت أمتي بعد قضاء الله وقدره بالأنفس يعني العين. He said sallallahu alayhi wasallam that most of my ummah dies after Allah's decree, meaning just like natural death. But after Allah's decree, most of my ummah dies because of envy. So you can see someone and they drop dead, or they become sick, or they suffer, you know, a long illness, and it's caused by envy. So it can happen. That's what we call a supernatural cause, or magic to kill somebody. That's a supernatural cause. So that's what we mean by it. So how do we know that something, a physical illness, is supernaturally caused? We said that our assumption then, if I'm sick, if I'm coughing, if something is wrong with my body, it's biological. But when do I start suspecting or investigating the fact that this could be supernatural? Envy, magic. One, if I have clear evidence. So that incident that we talked about, where the Sahabi fell ill, they had direct evidence that this person made a comment, looked at him, this person fell ill. So now we can say, yeah, there is a strong connection between your illness and that observation and comment and the eye of that person. So you try to cure that illness, heal that illness using religious treatment. So when you have clear evidence, then you can conclude that this is envy. But you don't want to start suspecting people with no evidence. So for instance, you know, just as a hypothetical, you invite somebody home and they come into your house. And once they leave, you start noticing that there's things are breaking in your home. And you know that the thing that they admired, you said, oh, what a beautiful this and that. After, you know, let's say you had a pet or you had this or you had that. After they leave, they fall ill. They are sick. They die. So you may, without being certain, but you may draw some conclusions that this may have been caused by that. And you may try to treat it by asking them, you're pursuing religious treatment, by asking them to wash their body and taking that water and, you know, pouring it upon the sick person or something similar to it. But that is an indication of a close connection between the person and what they envied, because it just happened. So clear evidence. Also, what could indicate that a physical illness is supernatural and not physical is that it is abrupt, meaning sudden. It's hard to explain. That is, you go to the doctor and the doctor does not understand why this is happening. They give you the typical treatment, you're not responding to that treatment. The condition either is the same or worsens. And you go to other doctors and no one seems to understand why this is happening or how to treat it. It's a mystery to them. And that could tell you that the cause is, and again, we're not here certain 100%, but that could tell you that the cause is really not only biological. There's something bigger going on. And it could be envy. Because why? It's sudden. Somebody is healthy, all of a sudden they are sick. You go to the doctor, why is this happening? He says, we don't understand it. Maybe this, maybe that. They speculate, but they have no clue. You go to a specialist, after a specialist, they have no idea. And you're not responding to medicine, medical treatment. You're not responding to it. It's not helping. But then when you read the ruqya, you read the ruqya for yourself, or you go to someone who is a raqi and they read it, you start responding or reacting to it. Responding by how? By improving. You improve. You feel better. Or react to it in ways that the raqi with experience will know. So there are some ruqa, raqi, meaning the person who reads the ruqya, who are experienced, who, when they start reading the Ruqya, they'll notice your reactions to it. And some of these reactions, they will know that typically a person who's envied responds in this way. A person who's suffering from other types of supernatural ailments, like say magic or possession, they will respond in this way. So your reaction to it or the improvement that you feel when you read the Ruqya might be an indication that it's not simply that you are physically sick. No, not at all. Envy, and that's usually the more common culprit than magic, because not a lot of people do magic. But envy is the thing that is behind your illness. So the more that you read Quran, the more that you read of these ruqyas, the more that you will improve, inshallah. And that tells you, that's an indication that this is what? This is supernatural, right? So you typically, right, something that is caused by magic, something that is caused by envy, it is sudden, it cannot be explained. You yourself cannot explain it. The doctors cannot explain it. You read the ruqya, you feel better, and medical treatment is not helping you. So this is why it's always a good idea, whenever you are sick, no matter what the sickness is, start with the ruqya. Because if, in case, envy is behind it, now you have no clue, no idea, you're just at the beginning of that illness, but in case envy was behind it, you are treating it with the ruqya. If envy is not behind it, the ruqya is still helping. So you see what I'm saying? So for instance, you know, your back hurts, you have a headache, or a more chronic condition. You see, don't simply just rely on the doctors. You just go to them, get treatments from their pills, and you pop them in, and that's it. You pop those pills, and you feel that I've done my job. No. What is even more important than that? Dua and ruqya. This is why. Because if your illness is simply physical, then your ruqya will help. If your illness is caused by some supernatural causes, the ruqya is the thing that will help. And you can do your own ruqya. You can do your own ruqya with al-Fatiha, with al-Mu'awwidat. There are some authentic ahadith that you can take and you can read it. And then you can, inshallah, start treating yourself. In more chronic, more difficult conditions, you will need to go to araqi. But you start with your own ruqya for yourself and your family. And of course, you know, the adhkar that we talked about, the adhkar keep you protected. Dua keeps you protected. Before these things happen, you protect yourself by continuously building defenses. And these defenses is the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal in the morning and in the evening. So nothing bad happens to you, or less of it happens to you. Now, psychological illnesses, let's move to that. Psychological illnesses. We're going to assume, like the physical illnesses, when we said we assume biological causes first, psychological illnesses, we assume psychological causes first. That's our main and first assumption. So if I'm depressed, if I have anxiety, if I have what have you, I don't immediately assume that somebody envied me. I don't immediately assume that if somebody is anxious that they are possessed or magic is behind it. And I'm saying this because what happens sometimes is that we rush and we self-diagnose that there is something supernaturally wrong with me. So somebody has... is depressed, they say, I'm possessed. Some people also may think, or if somebody is depressed, he's possessed. Or somebody envied him, or if there is magic behind it. And what's the problem with this? The problem, first of all, is that there is no evidence yet to support that claim and that suspicion. Second, if it's untrue, you're ignoring the real causes that could be behind depression and you're not treating any one of them. You're just simply blaming envy. So you're just simply reading ruqya, and reading ruqya will help. We'll say that. You're simply reading Quran, and reading Quran will help. We said we will say that. But you're ignoring all the other causes that are making this person depressed. All the other causes that are making this person anxious. And concentrating only on the fact, on the assumption that it must be envy. It must be magic. Somebody else must be behind it. No, there actually could be real causes, chronic, long-term causes that need to be addressed. And if you do not address them, that person will continue to be, or you will continue to be, depressed and anxious. So I can't go and blame envy without proof, or blame magic, or blame the jinn without proof. So psychological problems, right, have psychological causes. That's the first assumption. So if I'm treating myself, I try to understand why this is happening and look for the psychological causes behind my psychological challenges or ailments. Now, for that, if I have a psychological condition, as we said, depression, different types of anxieties, you use both psychological and religious treatment. Not just simply psychological. So if you're trying to treat yourself, or if you're going to a psychologist and they're really helping, alhamdulillah, that's good. But it's not just these psychological understanding of the self and of yourself that on its own will help. It will help, but on its own, it's still incomplete. You need the religious treatment. So if you read Ruqya, just like when we talked about the physical illnesses, the psychological illnesses, the same. If you read your adhkar, it will help you with your psychological condition, no matter what it is. If you read your the Ruqya for yourself continuously, it will help with your psychological condition, no question. If you help others, it will help with your psychological condition, with your depression, no question. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla, if you give sadaqah to treat, to help others with your sadaqah, it will come back and heal you if you have that intention. No question, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla. So it's not just simply going to a psychologist and thinking that that on its own is sufficient. We say no. Just like with physical illnesses, psychological illnesses also require that you also do what? Religious treatment for them. And why do we say that? Because religious treatment will help you. Religious treatment will help you. You will just feel better when you read the Quran. You will be equipped to deal with your challenges when you hear the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. So whether the psychological is caused by psychological problems are caused by psychological causes or supernatural causes, religious treatment and healing helps with both. Right? Exactly as we said and as we emphasized with physical causes. And when is a psychological illness supernaturally caused? So again, our assumption is if I'm depressed, it's not because of the jinn. It's not because of envy. There's an issue I need to deal with. I need to find out what these issues are. And the more that I come close to Allah Azza wa Jal, the more that I will understand these issues and be able to treat them. So these are psychological, right? Emotional. Alhamdulillah, good. But sometimes, no. Sometimes there is supernatural causes behind my psychological problems. Yes, that's true. I'll give you an example and then I will go, inshallah, into when do we start suspecting that. So for instance, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran about Harut and Marut, and that Allah Azza wa Jal gave them the knowledge and they were testing people and telling them, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. We are a fitna. We're teaching you magic. And we are a fitna. So don't disbelieve by learning these things from us. So they were actually sent down as a fitna, as a test to people. Here we have this knowledge, and this knowledge can do something, which is magic. Don't learn it from us. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says that they will learn from them, but what, or by that by which they're able to separate between a husband and his wife. مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. So they can learn, right? It's right there in the Quran, right? They can learn from them things that they can use to separate between a man and his wife. How do you separate between a man and his wife? That you play with his emotions or her emotions. You play with what they like and what they dislike. So now this person loves this woman. And then you use a spell against them. And Allah Azza wa Jal allows it to happen. Just like Allah Azza wa Jal may allow somebody who wants to kill another to happen. It's a test for everybody. So having this knowledge does not mean that you are allowed to use it. So Allah Azza wa Jal allows it to happen. So that person who loved his wife now starts feeling repulsed by her. Right? Or she feels that towards him. So that here, that magic can color or change the feelings that a person has towards another. And of course, I mean, it's there only as long as the spell is cast. But if you destroy that spell, if you fight that spell, those feelings will go away because they are not real. But as long as the magic spell is there, of course they're going to continue to maybe hate that person or feel incredibly uncomfortable to next to them. They will feel so tight, or their chest is so tight that they cannot be around them. That could happen. And it's all the influence of magic. So yeah, magic can have these psychological effects. Envy can have these psychological effects. You find somebody, for instance, somebody is so cheerful and happy. Somebody else looks at him and say, how come they're so happy and I'm depressed? It could be that they envy them. And so they fall into deep depression and they don't know why it's happening, but it's happening. And you try to assist and you try to help and it's not working. You take them to a psychologist and it's not working. And the psychologist, especially if they are Muslim, will tell you, listen, I've tried everything, but nothing seems to be working. And this is something that exists beyond my experience, my expertise, my education. This is something related to maybe envy. Yeah, you need to explore religious treatment to understand whether there's something more going on. So how do we know if something is supernaturally caused? Just like with physical illnesses, it's abrupt, cannot be explained. No, there are no psychological causes. And you react or feel better when ruqya is read. So something that is sudden, psychologically, right? It's something that is sudden. It's hard to explain. It's mysterious. Why is so-and-so all of a sudden anxious, all of a sudden depressed, all of a sudden antisocial, all of a sudden hopeless? Why are these things happening? All of a sudden, and you take them to a psychologist and they talk to them and there are no discernible, easy to find psychological explanations. They don't fit into any category. And so the psychologist scratches their head and they said, I don't know exactly what is happening with them. Just like a doctor would say, I don't know exactly what is causing this illness. I can speculate, but it doesn't fit any particular category that I have. So when that happens, you start thinking about the fact that there could be something to it more than what the eye can see, more than the background of that person. There is maybe envy or maybe even magic. And in that case, when it is difficult like that, when it's chronic like that, you need the assistance of someone who will read ruqya, the raqi, right? Why do you need their assistance? Because they have experience. Now, you don't necessarily need somebody to read ruqya for you. You can do it yourself. Right? Remember the example of the Sahabi that we talked about? And he simply read Al-Fatiha. And Al-Fatiha, subhanAllah, if a person's iman is strong, Al-Fatiha on its own could be enough. That Sahabi, by the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, was able to help somebody who was poisoned. And, that person just stood up healthy. So just Al-Fatiha could help, but it needs a lot of Iman. So you can start your own ruqya yourself and see how you're reacting to it. If you are improving, if you are feeling better, the sensations in your body. But if the condition is really chronic, difficult, stubborn, and you can't locate causes and no one is able to help, then, right, you may start saying to yourself, after you've done all of these things, start saying to yourself, maybe it is envy. Maybe it is envy. I'm using ruqya and I'm using the adhkar, I'm using all of that, but I'm not seeing a lot of improvement. So maybe I need the advice and the expertise of, after visiting a psychologist, or at least somebody who understands psychological issues. You say, after I visited them and after I consulted with them and still I didn't find any progress, maybe I need to visit a person who can perform ruqya and they maybe are able to help. And what I want to say, inshallah, about that, about the Raqi and the Muslim psychologist. First of all, if you are going to use or seek somebody to read ruqya, the most important thing in that person is that they have taqwa of Allah and they follow the Quran and Sunnah. So not any person who dresses like a sheikh or like an imam or calls himself a sheikh and imam and has a turban and has a long beard and has, the rosary or the tasbih around their neck or in their hands, and they advertise, that is a legitimate person. So you just go and you tell them everything and you entrust them with your secrets. That's not wise. You need a raqi, as we said, who follows the Quran and Sunnah. Meaning what? He doesn't use jinn. There are some people who will do ruqya or try to help with these issues, but they themselves use jinn. And one of the things that they will do, is kind of like a hallmark of some of them, is that they will ask you about information about you. When were you born? Or the name of your mother? Or other details that have nothing to do with reading ruqya. You see that, again, go back to that Sahabi example that we gave. He simply went to that person, read Al-Fatiha. Do you need to know their age, their marital status, where their mother is, or the name of their mother? How do these things help when you simply only need someone to read ruqya and nothing else? It's because they use these details and feed to their jinn, and then their jinn will assist them. So you don't want to go to someone suspect like that. You need to ask someone that you trust. You go to the imam of the masjid, to a well-known sheikh who follows the Quran and the Sunnah, and you say, I need somebody to read ruqya to help me or to assist a family member. Give me someone like that. And they will give you someone like that, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. And you go to them or they visit you, and you will see that what they do is nothing more than reading the Quran and reading the dua. And they may also do what? They can also may read the Quran or these adhkar, and they blow it in some water and give it to you to drink. They could do that. That, inshallah, is legitimate. But there's nothing suspect in what they do. They don't ask such details or give me a trace of this or give me a picture of that. This is all irrelevant. And all are indications of that person is using jinn. And if you involve those who are using jinn in your own business, you're getting into more trouble than you wish for. You want to run away from those people. Don't say, oh, they can help. No, they just add and complicate your problem. So that's what we want to say about a person who will read ruqya. And the more taqwa they have, and the more that they follow the Quran and Sunnah, the more potent the ruqya is. The ruqya will be extremely strong when they only use the Quran, they only use the Sunnah, the Hadith, and they have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, their ruqya is really strong and potent. When they start playing with the jinn and using them, they will become weaker because of it. So seek a raqi if you want to seek a ruqya, investigate them, because it's really essential that you don't invite someone into your life and into the life of your loved ones who will add harm, okay, to your already, you know, complicated condition. The second thing is that if you are using a psychologist, as I said in the series on depression, I said a Muslim psychologist as much as you can, who is psychologically and religiously based. Now, we explained why that was the case or should be the case in that series. Of course, you need somebody with psychological credentials who will understand psychological issues and their background and their treatment and the studies and, you know, how to transition you from a condition where you are depressed or anxious or have lost hope into a state where, again, you could feel joy and hope and security in your life. It's important, right, that they understand that. But that on its own, okay, is always deficient, unless they add to it an understanding of Islam, of Allah Azza wa Jal, because that component is really the most basic and effective way to treat all of these conditions that we talked about. It's not just simply you are depressed and now you just need to believe more in yourself and life is beautiful and life is bright and there's hope. And yeah, true, but at the same time, the thing that gives you hope is Allah and the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that there is a hereafter, and that Allah is with you, as we've discussed when we talked about depression. So when you take the religious element out, whatever treatment you're going through, whatever advice you are listening to, is not religiously based. And when it's not religiously based, it's incomplete. And it can, in some ways, also harm you in short and long term, because it refocuses you away from Allah and to yourself. Rather than you depend on Allah, you depend on yourself. So it is deficient in that way. And it also misses the fact that there are supernatural causes behind illnesses. So someone who's basically and only a psychologist and does not believe in religion will never understand the fact that there is a jinn that is involved, or that there is envy that could be behind it. So they will not be able to treat you or recommend treatment because they don't believe in any of these things. But a Muslim psychologist who can simply and honestly understand the limits of their profession and say, yeah, I can treat you, but what I'm seeing right now is beyond my expertise, beyond what I've seen. And I know that there is a side, a world that exists beyond what we see. And you need someone who will be able to help with that. Now, a Muslim psychologist himself can read a ruqya if he's equipped, if he knows what he's doing, or he may send you to someone who specializes in doing that. But they understand the limits. So when a person does not have religion as a background and as a basis for their practice, they will miss all of that. And they can misdirect you. So that's why I'm saying that when you're making choices, make the best choices, inshallah, that you can. If you're seeking a psychologist, yes, psychologists could help. Try your very, very best to choose someone who is also Muslim, who also uses Islam in their treatment, in their psychological treatment. So they infuse psychology with Islam and Islam with psychology. And they... In a sense, what I wanted to say is they correct the psychological exaggerations or aberrations with religion, because that's what religion is supposed to do, to guide and correct. So if you find a person like that, inshallah, that is great. If you can't and you're just simply going to a psychologist, make sure, inshallah, at the same time that you try to consult a religious person so that you get the religious component as well. Right, but important, inshallah, if you're using someone who for ruqya, that you be very selective and very careful. Only Quran and only Sunnah. And for that, you need the advice and the counsel of someone who himself follows the Quran and Sunnah and knows how to distinguish between a good raqi and a bad raqi. A good person who reads the ruqya and someone who is not that good for you and your family. Wallahu a'lam. Let me see, inshallah, if there are any questions. Inshallah, I'll try to answer what I can. So here there's a question that says, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. There are scholars who do not prefer to blame spiritual illness, i.e. black magic or envy. They say that going into performing ruqya by a person who performs ruqya can lead to a shirk. How do we not cross that line with asking for a person to perform ruqya on patients? He used Quran Sunnah in his treatment. Now, I don't understand why going to a person for ruqya could be interpreted as shirk. I don't understand that. So it says, if there are scholars, you say, who do not prefer to identify spiritual illnesses or to blame spiritual illnesses, as you said it, black magic or envy, meaning they don't prefer that you identify spiritual causes for your illness. They don't prefer that. Now, I don't know why they prefer that. Because we already know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-aynu haqq." Ayn is a fact, is true. And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that ayn could put a camel in a pot and a man in a grave. And we said in that hadith, so this is a hadith. And there's so many other hadith about ayn and about envy. So if you say no, a physical illness or a psychological illness cannot be caused by supernatural causes, we say, well, why are you making that claim? Why are you making that conclusion? It can be. And many times it is. The thing is that we don't want to jump into conclusions and saying that, yeah, I've been envied. Why? Do you have evidence? No, I don't have any evidence. Why did you make that assumption? So that's the thing that we're trying to avoid. But then if there are indications and signs that you've been envied, then yeah, you've been envied. If there are signs that, for instance, like good signs that there is a magic, that magic was behind what is happening to you, then that's the cause. So if that's the case, then you know you can read ruqya for yourself, or if it's not helping, okay, you can go to someone experienced and they can read ruqya, and there is no shirk in that. If a person is simply using the Quran and Sunnah, when you sit in front of them, they're just reading Quran, reading authentic hadith, right? What is shirk in that process? So I don't find the shirk in it. Wallahu a'lam. So let me see. I think this is a question. Yeah. So someone has a medical condition and medicine works to a point, and then the person is advised by a raqi randomly that he is impacted. So can the long-term impact of these supernatural causes result in physical impact? So somebody is sick, is physically sick, as I understand from your condition, and he's responding somewhat to the treatment, and then a person advises him, or he's advised by a raqi, that there's something wrong with you. Maybe you've been envied, or there is magic, or what have you. So can the long-term impact of these supernatural causes result in physical impact? So yeah, if you've been envied, and you may have been envied a while back, and it can result or lead to physical illnesses. Sometimes even when that physical illness has a medical explanation, even the doctor will tell you, well, you know, a percentage of the population just developed these causes. They say, you know, 10 to 20% of the population, they just suffer from this. We don't know why, but it happens. The doctor can only say what they know. They can only explain what they know. 20 to 20% of the population get this. We don't know why, but it happens. And they think that's it. That's the end of the story. It happens. We don't know why. That's it. That's the limit of their knowledge. The tools that they have do not enable the doctors to understand what is causing this illness. So maybe the 10 to 20% of the population who get ill, or less than that, maybe 10% only or 5% only, they get ill because of envy, but you can't detect it. But Iraqi can. And I'm not saying that Iraqi has supernatural powers. No, they just simply read the Quran. But a person starts reacting to that ruqya. As I said, either you improve or you start reacting to it in ways, as I said, that the Raqi would experience. They said everybody who was envied reacted this way. So they can tell with these signs. So I hope I understood your question, inshallah. So all these, as I said, all those, he said, fake folks say that they use the Quran and Sunnah. How can a layman differentiate? It may be difficult for you to tell them apart. The first thing is that referral. Just like, how do you know that the specialist is good or that doctor is good? You go and ask somebody that you trust and they refer you to someone that they believe is good. So referral is really important. So you go to that sheikh in the masjid whom you know follows the Quran and Sunnah, or generally, right, in your city, follows the Quran and Sunnah, and you say, you tell me about a trustworthy Iraqi. You tell me, you direct me to them. And that's how you know. The other thing is that if you go to Iraqi and they start doing things suspicious, there's just some funny business going on there, right? He's asking questions that are irrelevant, inappropriate, or asking you to do things that are ridiculous and inappropriate. Bring me a picture, bring me a trace of so-and-so. Then you say, okay, none of that makes sense. So that could help to differentiate. It does actually help to differentiate between the real deal and those who are just simply faking it or using the jinn with them. Or somebody tells you, that's another thing. If somebody comes and gives you information that no one knows, no one is supposed to know. Last night, you encountered this and that. A month ago, you saw this dream. They tell you details that no average person is supposed to know. And a religious person is an average person, by the way, in terms of their knowledge of the unseen. They're just an average person. So when they tells you secrets about yourselves or about your family, then you know they cannot know this by themselves. Who's telling them? There's a jinn that is feeding this into their ears. So you know that this is a person to run away from, right? Is it true that every Iraqi will have his own recitation and there is no particular recitation for different cases? Every Iraqi will have his own recitation, meaning that they make up their own recitation and there is no particular recitation for different cases. So think about ruqya in the following terms. There are things that are constant in it, in the ruqya. And you can use all of it and you can use some of it. So you can just use al-Fatiha as a ruqya and you're done. Whether it is physical illness, envy, you can envy or magic, you can use that. You can use al-Fatiha and al-Mu'awwidhat. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And then you could be done with that. So Iraqi could simply come and just do this. You could just simply do that. You can add to it Ayatul Kursi. You can add to it. Now see, these things are things that you could add. They help, inshallah, they don't harm. They're not necessary, but you can. You can add the last two ayahs from Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, some of the ruqa, those who read the ruqya, will do what? If they're treating what they suspect is magic, they will take the ayahs in the Quran that discuss magic and include it in the ruqya. Right, and there's a point, inshallah, I want to mention about ruqya, inshallah, about listening to the ruqya online, which is helpful, by the way. So they will collect all, so if they're treating magic, they'll collect all the ayahs in the Quran about magic that mention magic, and they'll read that in their ruqya as well. Just that permissible, because you're still reading Quran. Some who are, they suspect that they're treating envy, they will take the ayahs in the Quran that mention ayn or hasad, anything that mentions ayn or hasad, and they include that in their ruqya, and that is absolutely fine. And then they will also include the ahadith. So this is what ruqya. So some of it could be long, some of it could be short, but you make sure that what that person is reading comes directly from the Quran or comes directly from the Sunnah. You don't need anything extra. You don't need anything else. So the point that I wanted to mention about an online ruqya, there are some of the ruqa. Those who read the ruqya, they've recorded their ruqya online. So you can go to YouTube and you can find it, the ruqya of Sheikh so-and-so, the ruqya of Sheikh so-and-so, and you'll listen to it, you'll find it's just all Quran and it's all Sunnah. The experience has been of some of those ruqab, when they explain about their recorded ruqya, they said that it did help with patients, even though it's not the physical person reading it, but they say when that was played, it did help the patient. So again, referral. You go to ask somebody, what is a good ruqya that I can listen to online? I don't have anybody around maybe, and I want to listen to a ruqya online. What is a good ruqya that I can listen to online? They'll tell you this and this and that. You listen to it, and you see how you react to it, and you see maybe it will help. So online ruqya, inshallah, is helpful, bi-ithnillah azza wa jal. So, Alhamdulillah, I think I've answered all of your questions, and I hope that the lecture was clear enough and provided, inshallah, enough foundations and principles to be able to deal with both physical and the non-physical, physical and psychological. So if you have an issue, physical, you assume the first assumption is that this is biological, I need to treat it, but also I'm using religious treatment. And if there are some supernatural causes, my spiritual treatment, inshallah, will help. And we'll tell you, or we told you, inshallah, when to start suspecting and thinking about the fact that this could have supernatural causes to it. Psychological problems are the same. I assume first, if I have anything or I have a loved one who has anything, that this is psychological. And I treat it as a psychological problem. If it's complicated, it's not working, psychologists scratch their heads, they don't know what is happening, then I may start suspecting or assuming or investigating the fact that there could be supernatural causes behind it. And either way, whether it's only psychological or also supernatural, use religious treatment. Use the adhkar, use dua, use ruqya, and yes, depression sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes could be caused by envy or other supernatural causes. Anxiety could sometimes be caused by envy or other supernatural causes. So that's why religious treatment is really helpful here, right? So there's nothing to lose. You have a problem, physical or psychological. Reading the Quran and reading Ruqya will help either way, whether it is simply worldly or it is otherworldly, the Ruqya will help, bi-ithnillah azza wa jal. So use it, bi-ithnillah azza wa jal. We hope Allah azza wa jal helps. I don't have the names of good Raqis in the US and Canada. I really don't have that. But you need someone local. If you can get in contact with someone local, that would be best. But seek your local imams and sheikhs. If not, then in the next city, but someone that you trust and you say, I need someone reliable, and give me someone who is reliable. And as you're doing this, also remember that the healing is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's not the raqi that helps. The raqi is just a mean. It's just the means to it. It's Allah Azza wa Jalla who heals. And so if you increase your own iman, and if you are patient, you may not even need somebody to read ruqya for you. But sometimes we need that. Why? Because they have more experience And because they are, sometimes it could be that they're closer to Allah Azza wa Jal than us, but definitely they have more experience. So when they read that ruqya, they know what to do with the aftermath. Maybe we don't. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give all of us healing externally and internally. We ask Allah Arhamar Rahimeen to heal the sick among us and give us shifa, complete shifa from everything that ails us. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbil Alameen, to save us from physical illness and from spiritual illness and psychological illness. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from magic and envy and the whispers of the shaitan. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Arhamar Rahimeen, to bless us in this dunya and in the akhirah, and to grant us the best in this dunya and in the akhirah, and protect us from all evil in this dunya and in the akhirah. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our sins, to strengthen us against our desires and the shaitan. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbil Alameen, to make Jannah our final destination, our final home, and protect us from the punishment in the grave and the punishment of hellfire. Jazakumullahu khaira for listening, and may Allah Azza wa Jal protect you and your loved ones. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.